Guys, I am excited to bring our series to a close, not because I'm ready for it to end, but because that means that we are closer to the end of the semester, which is good because who is ready for Christmas and Thanksgiving break? Anybody like really need a break? Yes. Yes. Look, I am there with you. That means you get to sleep in. That means that you can watch all of the Christmas movies that your heart's desires. But before we get started, I have some news for all of you. I have Ethan and Will that need to stand up. Give them a hand. All right. I need everybody, as you're looking at them, I want you to say out loud with me. I'm going to say it, and then on the count of three, we'll repeat it. You are bad at golf, okay? One, two, three. You are bad at golf. Thank you, guys. Give them a hand. I say that because these two men wanted to wager that I would say I was bad at golf if I lost in a match against them, and unfortunately for them, they were the losers. So I told them that they would get the same punishment that I was going to get. So they're good sports, so obviously, thank you guys. But we are continuing in our Psalm 23 series called The Shepherd. And again, no matter what you have gone through in your life, valleys or victories, we all really need genuinely a good shepherd in our life. And if you're a Christian here, you know that we are trusting the good shepherd, which is Jesus. I was talking with one of our leaders. His name is Sean, and he is a huge, and I say that like you cannot capitalize the word huge as much, huge fan of roller coasters. And I'm thinking about, man, he's talking about traveling, and it's like these bucket list things of going and all these different things. Like the roller coaster of life will bring you up and down and all over. But one thing remains true, that if we trust the good shepherd, all of it doesn't matter because we are in the good hands of the good shepherd. God's word is important for us in all ways of life, and we understand that if we rely on the truth of God's word, it teaches us and shows us the promise of what happens if we trust the good shepherd. We are bringing, again, our third and final week in this series. We opened up with week one was verses 1, 2, and 3. Last week was verse 4, and tonight we're going to be in verses 5 and 6. Has anybody, like, taken to the task to join me in memorizing Psalm 23? Anybody trying to join with me? Okay, I got a few. Find me after service because I want to see if we're locked in. I told you that if I got it wrong, you could punch me in the gut, so we'll see. I got it right after the 6, so I'm hoping I don't forget by the end of the 8. But we're again bringing our study to a close, and as I've said a few times tonight, our series focus is going to be on the screen. It's to trust the good shepherd. It's to trust the good shepherd. Week 1 in verses 1, 2, and 3, we saw that when we trust the good shepherd, he leads us. He leads us to satisfaction, and he also leads us to righteousness. Last week in verse 4, we saw that when we trust the good shepherd, he protects us. He protects us for our safety and also from our fears. And tonight, again, we are talking about when we trust the good shepherd, he blesses us. He blesses us. So tonight our focus is that he blesses us. So let's go ahead and read. Hopefully your Bibles are still there in Psalm 23, and we're going to read verses 5 and 6. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We've learned a lot about sheep, a lot about shepherd, a lot about how we are kind of like sheep, unfortunately for many of us. But we've also, through this study, we've seen just the awesome just nature of God's character. If we know that truly his son Jesus is the good shepherd that we should be trusting, and we've seen that, again, to start off with, that he leads us, and last week that he protects us, and today that we are blessed by trusting the good shepherd, that are awesome characteristics of God's character. And it shows that his character is good and amazing and completely unmatched. God's blessing is incomparable to absolutely anything that the world has to offer. Our first point: when we trust the good shepherd, he blesses us with care. He blesses us with care. Verse 5, I'll read it again. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. We're going to kind of work through this specific verse almost as if it was kind of like a workbook style. We're going to go like line by line and then break it down that way. But we are promised the blessing of care as God's sheep. As it means that we are promised a continual stream of blessing, like we have so clearly seen thus far in this chapter, in this study. The first part, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And again, at this point, we've talked about the sheep, they're eating the grass in the field. So their property, they're eating that grass. Then we've talked about going through the valley and they're having to endure the winters and get away to where things are safe. And now at this point, we're in the summer. In the summer months, there is a literal land to where it's off the edge of a plateau, it's off the edge of a cliff. And at this point in time, this is where the grass, in order for the sheep to eat it, is the best, is the most nutritious, and it's just like the absolute five-star Michelin restaurant type grass for all things sheep. That's where they're going to go. But as we've seen in verses 1-4 already, every single aspect of this psalm, there's no coincidence. There's no accidental connections. There's no like, well, that just worked out in God's favor. Every single thing that we see here and have seen, there's a purpose for it. We're going to continue to see that tonight through continual kind of connections that we see through God's character, his word being a sheep, shepherd, and us today. And the cool thing about you go and prepare a table before me, one, over a meal, that's when a lot of walls are kind of broken down. We know that if you're a psychology major, like my wife Natalie was, she told me that, you know, you were scientifically proven that if you have a cup of coffee between me and the person you're talking to, they are more apt to actually engage in conversation with you. Somehow, it seems like a barrier that is just walls come down and they just trust you more. It's weird. Over a meal, always, never fails, people just like tell you things. Eating lunch, eating dinner, they're just more apt to like, oh, this is a normal person. They're normal. They're real. And that makes that little bit of that relationship more personal. And I want us to draw our attention. Last week, we looked at the actual grammar shift in verse 4 of, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. How the relationship from the sheep and the shepherd is personal. And the same type of grammar is continuing here in 5 and 6. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. So we see God's blessing already that he cares for us so much that he's literally going to set this table to have this relationship continue to grow in a personal and specific way with us, his sheep, already. But continuing on, another cool thing to note about this is the shepherd, they don't actually go there for the first time with the sheep. So they leave the sheep back home and they leave them on kind of in their barns or in their gates and whatever you might have had in that time. And these shepherds, they're actually, they go to this place first and they go to scope it out. Literally like any other movie or military tactic that you might see, they literally go and like, okay, like this is here, like we'll sleep here for the first week and then we'll sleep over here for the second week. And oh, okay, like I'll have a good view of the land and see all the sheep from here in this specific spot. Oh wait, well like there's mountain lines. Okay, well let me track these mountains. Where have they tracked through? How can I protect them from the physical enemies that they might have? And then they're also looking for different kinds of dangerous weeds that come up. There's literally a weed it's called white commas. And when it's like a white, really pretty flower that's hard to see, but the shepherd is trained to go through and to specifically find this weed, because if the sheep eat it, it will paralyze them instantly and they will begin to die. So that comma becomes a period really fast. You guys laughed, not as much as the 6. That hurt. I worked on that all week. But the shepherd does the hard work to make sure that we can experience, thank you, there's a delayed laugh. The blessing of his care is for us to make sure and understand that we have a healthy relationship with where we're going. He goes not because he just wants to get away from us. The shepherd does not want to just get away from the sheep. He already smells bad. He spent his entire life with them. The shepherd goes because he needs to make sure that every single one of those sheep is protected. He's to make sure that every single one of those sheep doesn't eat something it shouldn't. He's to make sure that every single one of those sheep, he knows where the enemy might be coming and also where they have been and where he can protect them from. He needs to get things prepared. And so this is just like Jesus, I think for us in our life, we can look at Luke chapter 22. We're not going to turn there, but this is when Jesus warns Peter about Satan's tactics. And he says, this is kind of where you want to sift him like wheat. This is where in that scripture you see the sift like wheat. And because Jesus has gone before us, Jesus knows what the enemy is going to bring. He knows what Satan is going to try to tempt us or confuse us or distract us with, that he, because he cares so much for his sheep, he said, Peter, this is coming. Be on guard. I care for you enough that I want you to experience the blessing of my care. Satan is going to try to do this to you. I want you to be on guard. And the good shepherd guided and directed him. Continuing on, a shepherd will look for the enemies of that sheep, as we saw, and he takes preparation. Anybody like watch Animal Planet growing up? Okay, this is an answer that I want you to give me. Which sheep do the lions, or I guess, which gazelle do the lions go after? The slow one, the alone one, the baby one, the sick one, the one that's not well protected. 1 Peter 5:8, you can turn there if you want, but it also it should be on the screens. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil or Satan, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." The sheep, the us, whoever's gotten hurt, whoever's strayed from the pack, whoever's found themselves out of God's community, whoever's found themselves not rooted in God's word, whoever's found themselves just trying to be stubborn and stupid and seeking whatever they want rather than what God's want, they separate themselves from the good shepherd. And that is when we are most susceptible to dangerous attacks from the enemy. And so this again shows the similarity that God cares for us, because we, once again, are like dumb sheep. We are stubborn and want to do things our own way. And when we try to do things that we shouldn't, we stray away from God's design, which is not wise. And we place ourselves in these places like the sheep do. And God is warning us here that we need to be careful. We're being warned and guided against these dangers because we are seeing the blessing of his care. And if we are truly to experience that, we need to understand that we need to be close to the shepherd, not far from the shepherd. The good shepherd cares for us so deeply that all of this is done so that we can have a table prepared for us. So again, you see here that you prepare a table before me. Anybody seen Thor Ragnarok? Okay, great movie, soundtrack, fire. Remember when Odin is about to like turn to dust, die, but not really because it's, you know, a fake movie. And Loki and Thor, they're with him on that like beautiful, like green grassy field that like overlooks the water. That is called the Tablelands. That specific place is called Messas. And that is literally where these sheep were going. And so the cool nature of like, yeah, like you prepare a table before me, like all of my needs will be met. Like, yes, scripture is very clear. But again, it's not a coincidence that the place that the sheep were physically being taken was called the land of the table. Like the table specifically was being prepared before them, like the Tablelands. Is anybody a Spanish major, minor? What does Messas mean? Table. Table. Guys, there's no coincidence that God's word is 100% true, because none of these things happen by accident. God, if we trust the good shepherd, he blesses us because he cares for us. The next portion here in these verses, you anoint my head with oil. There's two things that the oil anointing does in the life of a sheep. We see, again, the blessing of the shepherd's care. Oil is a delicacy at this time. Oftentimes, you'll see it as a gift to wash maybe Jesus' feet, or it's used as an aroma or a perfume. Wiley, I shouted you out in the sixth. I told anybody if they had any cologne questions, you were their guy. So everybody see Wiley. He's apparently the cologne guru. So anybody's got questions, he's the oil guy. But listen, there's a specific thing too, because it's getting colder. Christmas decorations are coming up around Dahlonega, which is a great time. But I was talking to somebody before the 6th, and they're so glad for winter for one specific reason. They said over summer in the warm months, they are tormented by a specific bug that nips at their ankles, gets their arms. What bug is this? Mosquitoes. Mosquitoes are the worst. Mosquitoes are the worst. So envision the pest of a mosquito. Envision it. In the life of a sheep, there's flies. Again, sheep naturally, they smell, they stink, and so forth. But these flies, they have a different motive. Again, they annoy and pester the life out of these sheep. They swarm, and these sheep, they're distracted. Rather than eating from this very, very green grass of the table that God's provided, they run away, and then they get distracted from the group, which again puts them in the dangerous way with their enemies. They flee, they do their own things, they get lost, they're not safe. One, that's just super annoying, just like mosquitoes. But two, the ulterior motive, this is going to be really gross, but we're going to go there. Those flies lay eggs. The desire for the fly is to lay eggs in the nostrils of those sheep. It gets grosser. When those eggs hatch, the flies do not fly that way. They fly that way. That's the grosser part. It all has a point, I promise. When they fly that way, could you imagine the constant buzzing that's going around? They literally feast on the brains of these sheep, cause them so much pain, so much. They hate their life that they beat their head on every bit of the ground, on the tree, on any fence post, every single thing that they thought was important in their life. That was "I Whip My Hair Back and Forth," the Willow Smith song. Crazy. Anyways, listen, they do that because everything in their life does not matter anymore, because all they care about is getting that horrible thing out of their head. They're in the midst of a green field. All of their needs are met. They're close with their shepherd. They have a great relationship. Nothing else is dangerous. But every care in the world, they forgot God's blessings. They forgot their shepherd's blessings. They forgot that every other need was met. And they end up literally giving themselves CTE and killing themselves because they hit their head so hard. And the truth is this. We could be in a field of blessing. We can be with our life just an overabundance of God's goodness. We can be truly trusting the good shepherd. Then all of a sudden it's like, well, my friends talk crap about me behind my back. And that's really distracting. My life is horrible. Everything that I've got going on just plain stinks. It's horrible. And we're in the midst of all this blessing and we're immediately distracted because of just a slight annoyance and a buzz that we just can't shake. And so to do this, they literally pour oil on the heads of the sheep and it immediately just causes the flies to not want it anymore. And that gives the freedom of the care of that shepherd. They can experience the blessing again. Another use of the oil in this is, of course, it protects from disease. And there is a disease called scabs for a sheep. And it's literally a scab on their forehead. Horrible. Dogs, when they greet you, they lick you. When cats, they greet you, they like arch the back and they like walk across your shins and so forth. When sheep greet each other, they just rub their foreheads together. Here's the issue. Scabs, bacterial infection, incredibly contagious. It starts in the place that sheep, touch every other one of the sheep. So if you're not careful, every single one of the sheep under the shepherd's care will get infected with this and it will cause immense problems for the whole entire group of sheep. But when you cleanse the sheep and it's completely anointed or covered in oil that coats it, protects it, and just like any sort of cream or ointment that you've ever used on any sort of infection you've had, it slowly over time causes the scabs or any of those diseases to go away. Again, incredibly gross, but it brings so much more depth to God's word. When we see about anointing with oil, it's like, oh, this is a magical fairy oil, and like you just have this. Like, sure, great, whatever. But this is so important because it protects from all of the slight inconvenience of life. But also, things like bitterness. When I have a small root of bitterness in my heart, when I have a little bit of sin, I've lied to someone or I've mistold the truth or I've done something that dishonors the Lord, and I think it's a secret. And then I start, you know, acting out of sinfulness with Mitch. And then we're talking about it. And then we go and we talk to Caleb. And then all three of us have just a sour attitude. We talk to Ryan. And then all of a sudden it just spreads to everybody. And everybody in this room has been negatively affected by the sin in my heart because I don't have it anointed with oil. I don't have God's covering. I don't have the trust for the good shepherd to care for me in my life. And all of a sudden, everything negative, everything sinful is out the door. And I've totally missed God's blessing. Romans 8 1 and 2 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Anything that happens, someone talks crap behind your back, you start to fail your test, you have a family member in the hospital, as big or as small as any sort of issue, any sort of valley that you face in your life, God's blessing, one, is promised to be bigger than that. But two, as we read in 1 Peter 5:8, Satan's whole MO is to distract and torment and to spread hatred and sin and just disunity amongst God's sheep. And if we are truly Christians and if we are truly his sheep, we need to trust the good shepherd because we are blessed by the care that he provides. It's important to note that if we did not have the constant care of our shepherd, I am specifically stubborn and sinful enough that I would never remain safe, which also makes me so thankful for the goodness of God's care. Lastly, in this verse, my cup overflows. This is where we see the blessing of the good shepherd, the good shepherd's care. This is the idea of an overflowing cup. So often we are not content. And when we find this, you know, the sheep, again, because they're dumb, like me, they forget all that's been done for them. They don't necessarily remember, oh, well, that shepherd put up that fence that kept the mountain lion out. They don't quite remember, oh, well, like, I did have, like, a lot of oil on my head for the last, like, few weeks. I didn't have any, like, brain flies. And we start to forget all that the shepherd has done for the sheep. And the issue is we forget that our cup is constantly overflowing. These sheep have every need met. There's no lack of grass in the field. There's no lack of water that they can drink. There's no issues that they have. Every single thing that they've got is a blessing from the good shepherd. And so this is where I share one of the most embarrassing things that has ever happened to me. And you think less of me, but it makes a point. So buckle in. I went to college here. My freshman year, I moved in with my childhood best friend. His name is Kaysen. And we lived in the suites. We're on West Side. Our RA had an Atlanta Olympics-themed hall. Mitch was next-door neighbors with us as well. And the person who lived in the room above us, her name was Sunny. She was named after her grandfather. Her grandfather used to be the governor of Georgia, and at that time was President Trump, first time, his Secretary of Agriculture. Crazy awesome job. Freshmen, grown adults were like, we need our freshman Christmas to be awesome. So we're like, what do we do? Sonny's like, Papa Sonny, he lives in D.C. We can just go and stay with him and see all the things in D.C. for Christmas. We're like, that's it. That's the rager of a Christmas. So we go, we drive, horrible drive. Found out I failed two classes on that trip. Not fun. It gets worse, I promise. We're there. Also, I'll pause you. I currently still have a public phobia of going number two in public places because of this happening. That's the most political correct way to say it. We'll explain why in a second. I can't do it. It's public fear. I went on a mission trip to Malaysia, there for 12 days. Didn't feel sick. Also didn't go to the bathroom. That's just it. Yep. Built different. I'm him. Again, guys, there's a point. I promise there's a point. We get to this house. We're all staying in this guy's basement. We're all staying in the Secretary of Agriculture for the United States of America's basement. It's 2 a.m. Everyone's asleep. I'm like, maybe I'll try. Go to the bathroom. Toilet clogs. Not good. I asked the granddaughter. I'm like, Sonny, where's the plunger? Not one down here. It's in Papa Sonny's bathroom upstairs. I'm like, not getting it. Absolutely not getting it. They think it's hilarious, which maybe. I start looking up home remedies for how to fix it. I'm like, warm water and soap doesn't work. So if you get in the same situation, it doesn't work. Don't waste your time. So I do the thing that all freshmen in college do. I sit there, flush it, let it go down, and then I have to try again. Doesn't work. Pain, sorrow, agony. Horrible. Everybody else has gone to sleep. We have to get up at 6. 5:15 in the morning rolls around. One last flush. Everything drains. Glory, hallelujah, amen. I can go to sleep. I wake up to this sentence. Buddy Kaysen, he goes, "Aw, bro." And then the next person I see is the sweet Secretary of Agriculture, his wife. She hands me 4 towels and says, "You don't get breakfast. You can clean this up." The water had drained to every square inch of that basement. Yep. So I saw the water go down. I was tired. It's 5:15 in the morning. It did indeed go down and out. Here is the point. Also, this is a really good gospel, like just God is good for 2 reasons. 1, bad water went down the drain. The water that spread everywhere was not the bad water. It was the water that should have been clean and refilled. So it was all clean water that touched everywhere. Thank goodness. Here's the thing. The blessing of God in our life, our cup overflows. It touches every square inch of that basement, every square inch of our life, every bit. Guys, I promise, look, it's there. It's there. Oh, man. Look, it's going to get better. Listen to this, and it gets, God is so good. My friends, they called my mom. That day got worse. They got my social security number wrong, so I had to stand in a Secret Service jail outside in the cold in D.C. But here's the point. Guys, listen up. That would have been a stupid story if there wasn't a point. Our cup overflows, and the true blessing of God in our life genuinely spreads everywhere and touches every ounce of our life. But guys, also don't miss this. When we trust in the Good Shepherd, all of the crap in our life goes away. And all of the cleanness that we've been made new with in Christ spreads everywhere. That's actually what happens. All of the bad stuff is dismissed and our cup overflows not with just like sort of good stuff that we can do. It only overflows with stuff that is clean, that is made new, that has been restored by Jesus. Our cup overflows with nothing that we can do. Only by what Jesus can do. Hebrews 13:5. This is where we get back into the nitty-gritty of Scripture. to be content in what you have, because I will never leave nor forsake you. The good shepherd cares for us so much that his blessing is not limited. His blessing does not only touch the bedroom, does not touch the storage room. The blessing of God in our life, he cares for us so much that it overflows and touches every square inch of our life. My marriage is touched by the blessing of God's care. My work life, if I'm trusting the good shepherd, is touched by the blessing of God's care. My friendships, my other relationships with work, with people that I knew in high school, if I'm trusting the good shepherd, my cup overflows because that blessing is touched by the goodness of God's care. For you, if you trust the good shepherd, as dumb as it sounds, it's just like that. Your life is made new. Everything is clean. The filth is out. The goodness is back. And it is just all over your life. Guys, we are blessed by the care of the good shepherd. He is never stingy. What a huge blessing that is God's care for us. Our second point, he blesses us with certainty. With certainty, with full assurance. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Being certain is something that I know I throw around far too often. And of course, Mitch can attest, he's nodding his head with full thrust. I say like, oh, bro, there's no shot that's wrong. I was talking about, I had some guys in the six, and they were like talking about their prize picks. It's like, dude, it's a complete lock. Like, no, it's not. There is no 100% guarantees outside of Jesus. And I'll present it to you this way. In a negative with cancer, I'm going to the doctor, or you're going to the doctor, and they're like, Luke, or whoever, there is a 100% chance that you are not sick and you do not have cancer. You leave feeling really good. They go, Luke, there's a 99% chance that you don't have cancer. See you at your next appointment. From that time to the next appointment, I am just riddled with fear, as most of us would be, because like odds are kind of in my favor, but there's not certainty. There is no certainty like the good shepherd's certainty. Having certainty is a blessing in and of itself. When we trust our good shepherd, he blesses us with complete certainty. Everything that we have studied in this chapter and everything that we have studied about sheep has brought us here. Everything has brought us to the place of us knowing with complete certainty that we are blessed if we trust the good shepherd. Because that first word in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Surely. No chance they don't. The promise, the guarantee, the certainty. Surely, 100%, I'm 100% sure that they shall follow me. And it's cool too because the word here, when we look at, when we look at the word follow, actually, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the movie reference for the night. Movie reference. Anybody seen The Longest Yard? Adam Sandler, great movie. You guys know, so there's, if you don't know the movie, there is some guys that found themselves in jail, and they're having to make a football team against the guards. It's a dumb movie, but it's hilarious. There's an inmate that is trying to be a spy to the guards for the inmate team. He walks in, they're like, they got a running back. He's fast. He's real fast. He's so fast, he makes fast people look not fast. Right? Great movie. Great scene. Go watch it. It's awesome. This is a picture of our certainty. The world promises guarantees. The world promises blessings. God also promises blessings. And God also promises guarantees. When we are blessed by God, and then when we are blessed by the earth, things of this flesh, we are so blessed, we make these blessings look fake. When we have God's blessings, these blessings don't look real. We have God's blessings, these blessings make everybody else look like they're living a horrible, putrid life because they have nothing close to the comparison to what God's blessed us with in our certainty and with his care. We are so blessed that we make blessed people look not blessed. That's how it is. Guys, we are so blessed, and we are blessed with complete certainty. And often it's easier to see this and say this when we are at the table on the mountaintop. It's easier to say, hey, grades are good. Me and my girlfriend, we're doing fine. You know, my parents, they've sent me plenty of hundreds of dollars of bills to go and get, you know, all of the food I want, and we can drive into Atlanta to get Krispy Kreme when the hot sign's on, and it's great. It's awesome. But really, it's also important to remember that God's blessings haven't stopped when we found ourselves in a valley. The shepherd still protects the sheep. The shepherd still keeps the horrible things away. They're walking towards a blessing. They're living a life that is fully blessed and completely certain that no matter what happens, their cup is going to continue to overflow. They will follow you, as Scripture says, all the days of our lives. There's no good day or bad day that have any different amount of God's blessing. It's just our heart that views it differently. We have complete certainty in the best or the worst of days that God's blessings are true. Because surely, surely, no matter what, with complete certainty, we are sure that God's goodness and mercy will follow us. Almost said shilly gully. Almost did. We also have certainty because the word here, this is where we were going to go previously, the word follow. The word follow here is not the weird, like, stalkerish, like, sneaking around behind these folks. The word follow here, the Hebrew word is rapha. Is not rapha, hold on. Radaf, close, letters are important. It's radaf, radaf. And that word means to pursue or to chase after. God's blessings are a relentless chasing of you. God's blessings are a 100% wholehearted pursuit for you and your heart. This means that we are pursued by all things good at all times. The shepherd doesn't just have his feet propped up for us to wander and say like, oh, well, like maybe they'll find food. Maybe they'll be good. It's the constant, hey, are you good? Got food? Cool. You hungry? Nope. Good. Thirsty? Shouldn't have. We got you up before. Had the water on the dew on the ground, man. You had that before the sun even rose, man. You were quenched. That thirst was quenched. Every single need is met. You're not going to accidentally stumble upon anything. One, because sheep are stupid. We are stupid. We will never accidentally stumble on blessings that are anything better than what God has for us. Here's another thing. The sheep know that they are certain to be blessed today, just like every other day. Sheep, like dogs. I have a dog, Nash. Nash is the best dog on the face of the planet. I'll put that up on anything. Nash, goated dog. Natalie works from home, and because we're pregnant, we're turning her old home office into our nursery. Nash, every single day for years, would sit right up under her part in that room, under her feet on the desk, every single day. He sleeps there every night. That's where he would always sit throughout the whole day. Anytime he'd go to the bathroom, he'd come right back in there and he'd sit right there. Dogs, sheep, us, we're all the same. Nash doesn't know that we're making it a nursery. He just knows that's his spot. This room now has a different paint color. It's completely empty. There's new flooring. I come home from work. Where's Nash? His spot. Natalie's office is now moved. He's not under her desk. He's in his spot. And the same is true with sheep and with us, with God's blessing. The sheep are too stupid to know all that God's done for them. They're too stupid to know what the shepherd has done for them. But they know, I'm going to eat good today. I've got a good shepherd. How do you know that? I ate good yesterday. And the day before. I ate great the day before that. I ate even better the day before that. For us, it's simple. We know that we have the certainty of God's blessing because it's unchanging. It's constant. Our cup overflows. God blessed me yesterday. Why would he not today? He did the day before that. Why would he not today? Our blessings are promised. Next, moving down, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The house of the Lord is normally referred to in Scripture as like God's church, and that is true. Scripture says that if we are truly believers in him and if we trust the good shepherd, then we can never be plucked from God's hand. But I want us to look at it a little bit different. That is true, but these sheep, they travel a lot. They go on a lot of journeys. They, again, home, through the valley, the tablelands. They go all these different places with the shepherd. But they know they are safe, content, and have blessings at home. They're not looking elsewhere. They don't care elsewhere. They know, I'm home. When I'm home, I have security forever. Through various valleys, through fights, through no matter what happens, upon building the perfect relationship with their shepherd, the sheep know that he will lead, the sheep know that he will protect, and the sheep know that he will bless. And under his care, they know they are dwelling in his house. Anybody's parents ever told them the worst words of all time? No, we can't do that tonight, son. Like, we got food at home. Anybody with me? Yeah. Worst thing ever. Wendy's 4 for $4 is way better than leftover pork loin. Here's the thing. In that case, our minds, that's way better than what we've got at home. Way better. With a true relationship with the Good Shepherd, where we're diving into God's Word every day, where we are surrounded by believers, where we're in a small group, where we're being prayed for and praying for others constantly, God promises blessing. I don't have to slowly look and say, like, well, they have a pretty cool life. Like, what if I, you know, just let off the gas just a little bit and stop serving the Lord in that way? What if I started pursuing that or started allowing that sin to just get into my life because it seems cool? I don't get distracted by that. Why? Because I'm promised to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We got food at home. We got food at home. And it's way, way, way better than anything the world has to offer. So when you get tempted, guys, I'm going to challenge you. Think about stupid old me. We got food at home. God's mercy is good. We got food at home. Thank goodness for his grace. I stepped out of that stupid, and I can pursue his holiness. Got food at home. Every single time we are tempted with something that is less than the best, we understand that God's blessing is more than that because he cares for us, and we are certain that he has promised it to be better than any other thing that there is to offer in this world. Guys, we are blessed when we trust the Good Shepherd. And so today, I'm going to ask the band to go ahead and come back up. My challenge to the believers is to think about and live like you're blessed. I challenged y'all last week, but for us, oftentimes, we live our life like the sheep who are just totally just ridden by the flies. We live our life like the sheep who is just causing the spreading of this horrible disease and bitterness in our life. We're blessed every single day. That hasn't changed. God has not changed. We have. I was talking with a guy out in the lobby in between services, and he was like, Luke, he said, what do you do when you're wrestling with your salvation? Like, I felt like I was saved yesterday, but not today. Like, what do I need to do to understand that this is true in my life? And it was a great conversation, but one thing in this passage is true. I said, understand that it's not God's fault, and God has not changed. His love for you on Monday is not different than his love for you on Thursday. Now, Satan, on the other hand, is, again, seeking to just wreck your life. He's prowling around and roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. So Satan's desire is to distract you. Satan's desire is to pull you from God's people. Satan's desire is to get your attention away from the Good Shepherd, to cause you to forget the green fields and the still waters that you found yourself in. And so for us, we need to understand that our lives are blessed because our cup overflows. So think about all the places that you're blessed, and I want you to go look at that list when you feel like you're not. Write down in times of mountaintops, man, God's blessed me with this, God's blessed me with this, God's blessed me with this. Man, 5 years of God's blessing and his sovereignty in my life. 10 years, 15 years, man, since I've been born, there's a thread of God's blessing in my life. You know what? That storm, that valley doesn't feel near as bad because I'm reminded of God's blessing. Next, I want you to continue to thank God for those blessings because you are promised to surely endure and experience those blessings forever, forever and ever. And then as we bring this to a close, I mentioned a few weeks ago, there's a book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. It's written by an author named Philip Keller. He's a guy who's a believer, but also worked as a shepherd. And he gave a lot of content and stuff that was really helpful in my prep for this. And I learned so much. But he told a story at the very end. We talk about dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. He was a good shepherd. And so his sheep looked the part. They were fat. They were clean. They smelled good. Had no flies, no scabs. They listened. They stayed close. Fields were green. Water was perfect. He was a great shepherd. He had a neighbor, just as many sheep. He said winter would roll around and you'd start to see a huddle of just really skimpy, disgusting sheep. They'd be right there at the fence, poking their head through, trying to get grass, trying to do anything that can help. He said eventually they'd find their way into his field because that's where the goodness was. He said, they're not my sheep. I've got to bring them back. I don't own these sheep. They're not marked with my trademark of my brand. So he loads them up in a wheelbarrow and has to bring them back to the owner of these sheep. And guys, it's horrible. That shepherd slits their throats, it says in the book, and says, they won't listen. They're not here. Who cares? I don't care. Kills them. Here's the thing. What we think is goodness of the world is like that. When we pursue the goodness in the world, we are malnourished. We're seeking more. Oftentimes, we don't even know it. Satan's not going to promise anything as good as God does. So if today you're in the room and you're like, I don't have a relationship with a good shepherd, understand that that's the future that awaits you if your faith and trust relies in Satan or anything other than Jesus, the good shepherd, to provide anything good. Scripture says in John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus, this is his words, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and find green pasture. We understand, Jesus himself specifically says, hey, I'm the good shepherd. There's no doing good things. There's no associating with good people. There's no being in a revive or any other small group. There's no quiet time in the morning. No, anything in your life that you can do just to look the part to get onto the good side of the good shepherd. The only way is to have a relationship with the good shepherd. The only way to find his blessing is to have a relationship with a good shepherd. The only way to see his leading is to have a relationship with a good shepherd. The only way to see any sort of protection in your life is to have a relationship with a good shepherd. Further down in this chapter, something we've read each and every one of these weeks. I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear me and they know my voice. Jesus, the good shepherd, when he is true in our life, we hear him and we obey his commands and we pursue it wholeheartedly. And if today we're not doing that, needs to change. The Bible teaches the only way, John 10, 9, the only way is to enter by the door of the good shepherd. Because if we don't, we sneak in, we associate with good people, do all those things I said just to act good or to do less bad things. We get to heaven in that wheelbarrow like those sheep. And it crushes his heart. But Jesus looks at us, the good shepherd, and says, these aren't my sheep. They're not. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. So for us, I don't want any of us to live a life that's that. But also, if we are truly trusting the good shepherd, our life needs to reflect it. We need to be able to rejoice in his goodness, rejoice in his blessings, and understand that, man, we're blessed because the good shepherd cares for us. We're blessed because we have total certainty that we are promised to the end of the days that those blessings will never stop. Guys, when we trust the good shepherd, he leads us, protects us, and blesses us. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me to green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul and leads me down paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk down the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint me and my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy, they will follow me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We have the total, endless, till the end of the days promise that God's blessing will never ever run out. But we've got to trust him. So if you do trust him, let this be a time where you can just worship the Lord. You can say, God, thank you for your blessings in my life. Thank you that you've never stopped showing up. Thank you that you've never stopped guiding me. Thank you that you've never left me in the valley and you've always guided me to these green pastures and to this table and these mountaintops. And if you haven't, I want you to take a time and I want you to repent and say, God, I'm tired of living on the wrong side of the fence. The grass is greener when it's with you. And I want to do that today. So I'm going to pray and let's worship. Lord, thank you today for just the goodness of your word. Lord, thank you for just the blessing that is this ministry. Lord, I pray that anyone in here that doesn't have a relationship with you, that they would feel safe, but also that you would give them the boldness to understand that this is the most important decision of what side of the fence they stand on literally and spiritually for all eternity. Are they on the side of blessing and goodness with you? Or are they on the side of torment, distraction, and destruction for eternity? So whatever we leave here with today, I pray that we would trust you because your blessings are good. You care for us, that we have full certainty that 100% of the time, you will constantly bless us no matter what. Amen, I pray. Amen.